Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of February 14, 2021. This week's title is Reengage, Rekindle the Fire by Frank Donato.
We want to welcome everyone. We've been going through this series called Reengage as we look at the life of Moses. You know, a little over a year ago, Portia and I flew to Orlando, Florida to see our kids who lived there, and they took us to this place called Disney Springs. Now, Disney Springs is like Jordan Creek Mall on steroids. It's a huge place. It goes around a lake. There's shopping centers. It's all kid family oriented. So they have an M&M store. They have a Lego store. They have a Coca-Cola store. They have live entertainment. And so during that time before COVID, there were a lot of families from all over the world. And periodically, I would see a family and the dad or mom would have a leash connected to their child, and they would let the child go out and reel it back in. And I could understand why, because there were so many people there that your child could become lost. So they had this leash, and I told my daughter, I said, "Hey, look, there's someone who has a leash." And she says, "Dad, it's a child restraint harness." And I never heard that before. I said, "No, it's just a leash." And so she said it's to keep them close in that way. Now, I'm thinking when our kids were raised back in the day, we didn't have leashes. I mean, our child restraint harnesses. I couldn't go on Amazon and order a child restraint harness. If I wanted a leash, I would have to go to the pet store. And if I went to the pet store, I would ask the pet shop owner, "Hey, I need a leash." And they would probably ask, "Well, do you have something like an English Mastiff at home or Minpin? What kind of leash you looking for?" I would say, "No, it's not for a dog. I want to leash up my little kid." Well, if that happened, they'd probably call human services. So I don't know if you want to call it a leash or you want to call it a child safety harness. Whatever it is, we had to do that when our kids were little. We went to church camp. I was a youth minister at the time, about 3 weeks worth of camp. The camp was by a lake. And we would have our little toddlers, and we didn't want our little toddler walking out on the dock in harm's way. So what we would do in Montana, we would tie our kids up to the tree. I mean, that's what you do. You would take a one end of the rope, and you'd tie it around the tree, give it them about a 30-yard run, or 30-foot run is about right. And you take the other end, and you tie it on their belt loop. And that's what you did. And they'd play for all morning. You tie your kid to the tree. They'd play with pine cones. They'd play with sticks. They'd play with trucks. And so we would tie our kids to the tree. So if you want to call it a leash, a child restraint harness, as I look at 2021, I think it's time to cut the leash. You know, as our kids grew up, we wouldn't always tie them to a tree. I mean, there's a point in their life that it's time to just unleash them or to cut the rope or to cut the leash. And I think some of us in 2020, as I'm thinking about it, it's time for us to cut the leash loose. I mean, we've had a shutdown for a whole year. And we've gotten comfortable in the year 2020. We've become more self-focused. During this time, we have the self-preservation that comes upon us. We start thinking of ourselves and our immediate future and our immediate health, and that's fine and appropriate, but maybe, just maybe, it's time to cut the leash loose. Maybe it's time to be set free and not focus so much on ourselves. Instead, this year, to start focusing in on the needs of others around the people that we come in contact with. Maybe God's calling us in 2021 to re-engage. Now, usually in church, you would begin a series at the beginning of the year talking about improving yourself, improving your spiritual life, or creating new healthy habits. But this year, we want to have this series called Re-engage. We want you to get the attention off yourself and to your attention on the world around you, because God wants to unleash this church. And to accomplish that mission for 2021, I believe that God's mission for us at New Hope is this: to unleash the full force of the church, to love people one at a time. And I think that's what we're about in 2021. to have a full gospel impact to influence the world around us. And as you study the Gospels and the life of Jesus, you see the ministry model of Jesus. And Jesus, in the short amount of time that he was here, he changed the world. And how did he do it? By loving people, for caring for people, just one at a time. And the gospel is written that way. And even through the books of Acts, the church grows and the church cared for people and loving people one at a time. Well, we're in this series called Reengage, and we've been looking at the life of Moses. So today I want to look at Exodus. It begins in chapter 3. And this part of the story is a very familiar story. It's Moses and the burning bush. Now, right before this, let's be reminded, Moses has been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. For approximately his first 40 years, he was in Egypt at the palace, and now he's wandering in the desert the next 40 years. And Moses, as it says in verse 1, Moses was tending his flock of sheep far on the far side of the wilderness. So let's go ahead and enter that familiar story of Moses in the burning bush. Verse 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And then it says in verse 10, So go now. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, can you imagine the enormous pressure that Moses felt right then? I mean, I want us to just stop here in the story. And remember that Moses has been wandering in the desert for 40 years tending sheep. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the desert, but it's an incredibly bare place. It's hot. There's gravel. There's sand. There's cliffs. There's rocks. And occasionally you'll see a bush that's just kind of clinging on for his life. Now, I grew up in my high school years in Scottsdale, Phoenix area. I went to Scottsdale Christian Church and all those things. A lot of times we would go out and hunt jackrabbits or javelina hunt. So we spent a lot of time in the desert back then in the Four Peaks area. Well, my wife is from Montana. We married and she's never been to my stomping ground. So one time we flew into Phoenix and I was showing her my high school and my church and youth group where I used to grow up. I take her in the Four Peaks area and look out at the vista with the saguaro cactus and just the vista of the desert. And I asked her, honey, what do you think? And she says, it just looks so thirsty. You know, Moses was stumbling through the wasteland. But by the time accumulated, he became disillusioned. He was a fugitive, still alone and running from people. He was captive in his own thoughts and just years of solitude. He was just wandering and drifting. I think of the song America used to sing on the radio. It goes like this. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La 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 la. Everybody now, you know the song. But something happens when you're in the wilderness. A thing starts to get a hold of us, and the thing is called complacency. And you know, I think that's us in 2020. We become complacent. Through months of solitude, we're alone, and complacency just starts to grab a hold of us. So why don't I give you some different descriptions of complacency, and hopefully it can help us, and hopefully it will waken us up like Moses was waking up at that moment. First of all, number one, complacency is a feeling of indifference that settles over a period of time. It's just getting used to the way things are now, getting used to the new norm. At first, something disturbs you, and you think, you know, I need to do something about that. But over time, it begins, we begin to just accept it. And over a year, we don't even notice it. This is number two, what complacency does. Complacency is the inner voice that convinces you that someone else will do something. In psychology, you call it the bystander effect. It's the idea that you can be in a crowd of 10, 20 people, hundreds of people, even thousands of people, and you just think, well, it's not that I don't care about it. It's just somebody else will do something about it. Somebody else will, you know, you can fill in the blanks. Somebody else will serve in that spot. Somebody else will give money towards this. Someone else will do something, and that's called complacency. Number three, complacency is often disguised as procrastination. It's that I'm not going to ever do something about it. It's just I'm not going to do something about it right now. And number four, complacency is the inaction when an impending threat calls for action. You know that there's something happening. You know that something needs to be done, but you're just not doing anything. Another one is number five. Complacency is making a choice to play it safe and take it easy. You think, hey, I've done enough and I've worked enough in this area. But let's remember in Exodus chapter 1, verse 10, God says to Moses, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." I mean, what an enormous challenge. Can you just imagine the fear that came over Moses? That's what the scripture says, that Moses was afraid. God's saying, Moses, it's time to wake up. I am calling you out. Moses, you're in my court now. Take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. Moses, I love you, but I am calling you out right now. And Moses was just overcome with fear. And that's understandably so when we have called out like that by God. In Exodus 3:11, Moses said to God in fear, says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And Moses protested like we do. He says, "I don't have the credentials, God. I'm a shepherd. I mean, this is my retirement. I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm just a shepherd. I'm not a negotiator. I'm not a general. I have no experience of how to lead 2 million people across this wilderness. I'm not qualified." But God said, "You are qualified." And that's what he says in our lives, because he's always working in us. He's worked through your past experiences. He's working in us right now, even though we don't see it sometimes. God's working. And you know what? God's working upstream too. And God's working upstream in Moses' life right now, and he's working upstream of what he's going to call Moses to do. And that's why I believe the scriptures say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, and always acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." See, God has been placed in Moses. Moses is qualified. Moses has been reared in the palace. He knew the protocol. He knew three different languages. He was schooled by the most polished Egyptian tutors at the time. He lived a high lifestyle. He knew the culture of the Egyptians. And Acts chapter 7 says, Moses was educated in all the learnings of the Egyptians. Moses had a silver spoon in his mouth. He knew the Egyptian languages. He knew the sciences. He knew the medicine at the time, astronomy. He knew the chemistry. He knew the philosophy of law. He knew the culture. He was the adopted son of the princess. He was immersed into all the Egyptian learning and thinking. It became his life. And it says in Acts 7 that Moses was a learned man, all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in words and deeds. So Moses has been traveling in this desert, and also for 40 years, he's very familiar with the deserts, where the safety is, where the obstacles are, where the dangers are, where the water sources are, where to go and how to live. He was familiar with it. He led sheep through all this time. And you know what? Sheep aren't much different than people. And so Moses had this fear, and he says, I'm just not qualified. And when I think of us in 2020, Carrie has addressed this before. We have just been overcome with fear. And fear stifles us. Fear stifles our vision, and we start to avoid activities. Did you notice this past year that fear limits friendships? We just become isolated, and we try to avoid people. Fear over time erodes our faith. Have you felt your faith eroded this past year? Fear also eliminates excitement because we're afraid we would be exposed to COVID-19. Fear over time hinders our personalities. And being secluded every night, it starts to make you more irritable as you wear a mask all the time. And it makes you more critical. It makes you more uptight to live with. You become more obnoxious. At least that's the list Portia gave me when I asked her how I have changed this past year. So I am so glad it is Valentine's Day Sunday. I already have a card prepared. I'm going to write, honey, you're right. I'm wrong. Please forgive me. So guys, this is your get out of jail card. But you know what? Fear does just take over our personalities at times. You know, God is displeased when we have fear. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit to be timid, but gave us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So the challenge for us this year is to just unleash. And this is what we want New Hope to look like in 2021, to start making a difference in the world, to be the church wherever we do life. And God is telling us, just as he told Moses, so go now. He told Moses, I have a heart for people. I have a hurt for the people that are in bondage. God is telling us to go. I have a heart for the people that you're around, that they're still in sin bondage. And I want you to go. God has given us a God task. And that is to unleash the full force of the church. That means you and me and everyone else, to unleash the full force of the church to love people one at a time. And we need to lean into that moment. Well, during this time of COVID, one of my favorite TV shows is on the Food Network. It's called Chopped. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen it before. If you haven't, let me give you a quick rundown. On this contest, there's four contestants, and usually they're executive professional chefs that own restaurants. There's four contestants, and they go through these three series of cooking challenges, and each time one is chopped, and eventually there's a winner. Well, in the first challenge of the three, they all have this basket. There's four identical ingredients, and they open the basket. And two of the ingredients in the basket usually is a staple ingredient that you can use for cooking. But two of them, they're being thrown a curveball that really you wouldn't cook at all with them. Things like cheese whiz or gummy worms or pickled pig's feet, stuff that you would never want to cook with. And so the challenge, they would have 24 minutes to come up with this presentation using all the ingredients. And they would cook and present it, and someone would get chopped after each round. Well, one of the contestants, his name was Lance, and Lance was a Christian. I mean, he always said every time he could, when the camera's on him, that he was a Christian. And after a while, he repeatedly said it. He talked about his faith. But there was a point, to be honest with you, I started to cringe a little bit. Like, okay, Lance, you're high octane on this. You're kind of making the judges uncomfortable. Come on, let's just tone it down a little bit, because I just didn't know where he was going, where he's representing Jesus. Well, another cook on the show, this was a young lady in her late 20s. And she shared that she had a hard life. Her grandmother raised her when they lived in Paris, and her grandmother was still there and taught her French cuisine. And that's where she got her love for cooking, through her grandmother. And she shared that her grandmother still lived in Paris and she didn't have much time left. Well, the judges asked her, what would you do if you won that $10,000? She said, well, I would go back to Paris and spend some time with my grandma. Well, the last round, who's in the last round? Lance the Christian and the girl who wants to go see her grandma before she dies. So I'm thinking, okay, Lance, I've been rooting for you now, but I'm going to start rooting for her. I mean, I'm pulling for this gal to win now. Well, at the end of the competition, Lance wins the $10,000 and the female contestant congratulated Lance, and she just kind of hung her head as she walked out, and the camera followed her out as they do on Chopped. It's supposed to be where Lance is just taking in the moment as he's celebrating to be the victor of Chopped and the $10,000 prize. And as she's walking out, Lance says, hey, wait, wait. And the whole moment is unscripted. You can see the camera on the judges. They're feeling uncomfortable. And Lance says, come back here, come back. And she came back and says, you know, I didn't plan on winning. I didn't plan on winning this $10,000. I didn't think I'd even win. But I want you to have the money so you can go see your grandma. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lance, that's the way to go, buddy. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. You know, I felt different about his testimony. The reason I felt different is because of his encouragement. He was intentional with those things. And the moment that he backed it up with compassion, for me, it was a game changer. And we have opportunity after opportunity this year to say, hey, wait. You can say to your friends, hey, wait. You say this about Jesus and you think you know Jesus. Or, hey, wait, you've been to church once and you're turned off by church, and I understand how you feel about church, but they will see the gospel now in a whole new light through us because we have compassion, we have acts of compassion, and when that happens, we bring credibility and we can create opportunities to share the love of Jesus. You know, it isn't our qualifications that do it. It's our compassion to unleash the gospel of Jesus. Remember last week, Carrie says we can no longer be primary member oriented anymore. We must focus on the lost instead of ourselves. Carrie went on to say, to go to the community instead of for the community to come to us. So God calls us to be world changers. He's calling us to be unleashed. And at this moment, just as he did in a private moment with Moses, he's maybe telling you to go. Go now. Because we have a mission. And our mission is to unleash the full force of the church to love people one at a time. Now, you've heard me say a lot of unwords here. Unleashed. Unqualified. Here's another word that keeps us leashed up, the word unavailable. It's one thing to be leashed up, and you never say no, you just always say not now. You say maybe when things get back to normal, then I will. You say not now, I want to wait till things slow down at work, and then maybe I will. It's always not now. Wait, I want to wait till I get my life back together, or I want my life cleaned up more. Then maybe. We say not now. I want to focus on the, and you can fill in the blank. But being unavailable keeps us leashed up. So our challenge to our church family is to loose the leash. To unleash the full force of the church by loving people one at a time in radical ways, to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And it all starts at this quiet moment where you just hold out your hands and say, Lord, I'm available. So in closing, I want to give you just some personal inventory questions that you can chew on this week. And this is the first question I want you to think about. What do you believe he is calling you to? The second question is, what in the world breaks your heart? The third question you can ask yourself is, how can you step up into making a difference within your context of where you are at as you be the church wherever you do life? How can you make a difference in your context? And the third one is, take time to encourage or bless in a simple way three people this week. The first person is someone who's in the church family. The other two people that are far from the Lord, and they just need a touch of love and encouragement from you. What are those three people? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the challenge of moment. Challenges from you sometimes coming out of nowhere. Father, forgive us that we've been complacent and we have fear that is capturing us. But Lord, I thank you as you're calling us, as you called Moses to now go. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us an assignment through our gifting and our story and our connection with people that don't know you. And Father, I pray that you will unleash the full force of this church to love people one at a time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, it's sure good to be with you. I hope you tune in next week as we continue the series, Reengage.